Blog Talk Radio.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to FDH Lounge, mini episode number 226. Rick Morris and Kyle Ross breaking down NFL Week 16 for you. Another phoner today rather than being together in person due to the vagaries of our respective holiday schedule. Merry Christmas to everyone out there in the audience. Last week on the picks, I was 8-8, 2-1 overall on my big three, 0-1 on my lock plays. 114, 107, and 3 for the season. Overall, 23, 21, and 1 on my big three, 7-8 now, 47% on my lock picks for the season. It's been a weird stretch for me over the course of the last 7 weeks. I got 7 picks right 1 week, 8 picks right another week, and 9 picks right on 5 of those weeks. And yet, so I've been doing very well overall, and yet keep missing on the lock pick. That's 5 in a row now for me, tanking my season average. Kyle last week, 2-3 on his recommended plays, an excellent 33, 24, and 1 verified for the season, 58%. With that said, with that congratulatory note, we bring in good friend Kyle K-Dog Ross. Riva La Raza, Mr. Ross. Good to have you on today, my friend.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, that number seems to be going down, though, for me every week. I'll tell you what, it seems to be going down. I really felt good. And just before we get into this week's games, I kind of wanted to put out a kind of a macro note for all those who like to kind of get down on these NFL games as we approach the end of the regular season here, Ricky. I really thought I loved last week. And I did. I grinded hard, put a lot of work in. I was at least glad to see Tennessee coming and save me from what otherwise would have been a disaster on Monday night. Of course, speaking of disasters, you have the Jets. But these last couple weeks, and I say this because I don't really like this card, only going with 2 recommended plays this week. And then next week, as you know, and probably some of your listeners as well, a real crapshoot with week 17. I'm sure you and I will be exchanging emails feverishly over the holiday season how we're going to do that, because lines don't typically come out till the end of the week anyway. You'll have teams resting your starters. Houston, Atlanta could both be 2 teams in that situation, to name a couple. So it's really interesting, and my message to bettors is, if you're up, I kind of went hard. I went ham on them last week with 5 plays. But if you're up, and 58% is certainly, I'll beat my chest over 58%. If I can, turn out a couple winning weeks at the end, that's going to be a great regular season. But if you're up like me right now, you should probably tread lightly on the last 2 weeks of these regular season, particularly the final week. Wait till the playoffs. You're going to like those games better, chances are. There's no sense, going 5 or 6 plays. This is coming from a guy who, by the way, has made a decent living selling picks in the past. So, take it from me. I mean, in full candor, folks, there's no reason. I know you're going to be, maybe bored sometimes, sitting around family, looking down to get down on something. Turn to the bowl games, which, by the way, while most people are celebrating the ease of holiday season, Ricky, I'm dying here, man, breaking down these bowl games. I'm hot. I got off to a good start Saturday. But, ooh-wee, is this a tough time of year for me. I'm entering my toughest 2-week grind of the year with all these bowl games and stuff. And it's from now till through New Year's Day, it's tough, man. There's a lot to break down. I really feel like I'm going to do well with these bowl games. I got off to a good start, like I said, Saturday. And, I think I got a handle on these. And it's funny, a lot of people laugh at these lesser bowl games. They're really quite easy if you take some time to break them down yourself, or if you ask somebody who knows what they're doing.
I was 59% on the regular season, but I'm off to a bad start on the bowl game, so good for you. I know how tough they can be.
Yeah, I was, that Arizona-Nevada, I even got a little exotic on it. I had the over in the total. Here's a little tip. If there's ever a really high total in bowl season, don't be scared of that. Go over. If it's like 70 or higher, most people look at that and go, oh, my God, that's so high. Go over. Those games always – remember that Baylor won – well, I'm probably one of 5 people who remember it in the country, but Baylor and Washington played a game last year. I think it was the Alamo Bowl. Well, RG3 was in it, so some people probably watched. It was like 60 to 60 was the final score. There's two more games like that. A little freebie here, a little bonus on the FDH podcast. Syracuse,
wow,
West Virginia in the Pinstripe Bowl, and Baylor, again, they play UCLA. I know that game is next week. Syracuse, West Virginia, I can't remember exactly what day it is. They're all running together now. But totals of 70 or higher typically go over, as Arizona Nevada did to kick off bowl season.
Okay. And also,
fun stuff to play with there. And you know, if you want anything, Ricky, too, I'll be more than happy to break the bowls down for
nice.
You as well. I'm telling you, I got them broken down for January 1st. I think I got a good grasp on all these games.
Excellent. And additionally, as a general note, people should always historically play the over in the Holiday Bowl, regardless of anything else. In years past. On that, before we get going on this, I know you had another one last macro note here, a little rant on your good friend Jim Schwartz.
Oh, yeah, we can start that off. By the way, it's interesting. I think the Holiday Bowl is Baylor-UCLA, by the way, this year.
Oh, well, there you go.
If anyone out there, you know, if you're out there listening right now and you're in front of your computer, double-check that because that may match up. So, but,
okay.
Yeah, let's start with the NFL because, while I've been breaking down the bowl games, I have broken down this card pretty well. I can basically give myself a reason to stay away from almost every game this week. And starting with Saturday, typically, Ricky, I would definitely be looking the other way with Atlanta. Wanted to mention before I mock Jim Schwartz openly, like I always do every week, I just want to touch on Atlanta, do a mea culpa of sorts with them. Not entirely, but last week I came on this program, and I think rightfully so, was very critical of them after they lost outright to Carolina the week previous. I had said everything negative ever said or written about the Falcons kind of came true in that game. They may have come back with what I thought was the best game of the Ryan Smith era last week against the Giants. I know you and I both loved Atlanta last week. I don't think either of us thought they were going to beat up the Giants that bad. That game was never close. They intercepted Eli Manning early, and it was over. I watched a good deal of the first half. It could have actually been much worse. Atlanta squandered a red zone opportunity, I remember, once in there. So it could have been a lot worse. After this game, you know me in road favorites. I could see how you'd like Atlanta in this spot because a win here and they clinch home field in the NFC playoffs, which they desperately need because they haven't lost to Georgetown all year. And you know, playing indoors is kind of a favorable draw here at Ford Field. But let me just talk about the Lions for a second.
Okay.
So this is not a recommendation. What a sorry Noah Pelz team this is. All the coaches. You know, last week, I told you in that Detroit-Arizona game, everyone was focusing on your boy, Coach Wiz, and how coming off a 58-0 game, maybe he was, you know, in danger of being fired. I was really glad to see him win last week over this idiot Schwartz and the Lions, because hopefully that saves his job. I don't know if it will. Hopefully it does. But if you look at all these coaches that they're talking about getting rid of this week, Ricky, or not this week, at the end of the year, pardon me, fairly or unfairly. I mean, you got guys like North Turner, Andy Reid, Pat Shurmur, Romeo Crennel, just to name a few. All these guys have generally one thing in common, not a lot of talent on those rosters. What's Jim Schwartz's story, man? This guy stinks. Since they started 5-0 last year, they're 9-16, okay? They've blown big leads in a lot of games, and normally off a bad loss, home game, national TV, expect the team to bounce back, but they got the home finale next week where they can maybe ruin Chicago's season for good. I could see how you'd like Atlanta, and I'm sure you do, because you like Atlanta, and we all know your road favorite Ricky. But I can't recommend the Falcons, but I can certainly see you backing them.
Okay. And we'll come back to that game since it's one of my big three for the week here.
I wonder who's on.
Road favorite Ricky returns with a vengeance this week. Maybe that'll help beef up my numbers here. We got a full card, so we may have to go just a bullet points on some of these ones here. We open with Tennessee at Green Bay. The Pack started by the week by laying 11.5 points. It is up now to 13 as we speak. Again, this is one where You know, the Packers have just enough holes defensively that I can see Tennessee sneaking in the back door here. You've always preached to me how big, 13 can be, or any double-digit number for that matter. And this looks like one, again, because I am stupid enough to try to, give some kind of opinion on each and every game here. Gun to my head, I'm going to say take the points. This is a potential sandwich game for the Pack here, as they could have another big one set up to end the season against Minnesota.
Yeah, I'll say this, though. It is pretty tough to make a case for the Titans unless if you're going on sheer principle with double-digit dogs. I mean, Tennessee off the Monday night win over the Jets, you kind of feel that, for as far as, the good times, that might be it for their season. Although I think they do have Jacksonville next week who they lost to. So they might be pointing toward that one. Green Bay is rolling right now. I'll tell you what, after the slow start, you've got to be feeling good about your NFC Championship pick. They're peaking at the right time. It does look now that they could be in a solid position to get the second seed in the NFC, which would be huge. So I got to just lay off this one, man. I mean, there's just, honestly, Green Bay has every reason in the world to blow out Tennessee. And I can see Tennessee no-showing here. I think it's going to be high-scoring.
Okay.
I think it's going to be – but I'm staying away here all the way.
Okay. I kind of figured after a season of doing this with you that would probably be the case. And, again, you're definitely smarter than I am for deferring an opinion on it, no question about it. Next up here, Oakland at Carolina. Panthers are weighing 8.5 in this one, had been 9.5 earlier in the week. So, again, we're seeing a couple games already that have had decent line moves to them. Again, for the Panthers, a nice little stretch that they're on, having won 3 of the last 4, the outlier of that being the Kansas City game, but the day after the tragedy there, so that has to be taken into effect. So they are kind of rolling, and one of those wins being over Atlanta, the other two, Philadelphia and San Diego, not as impressive there, but I just, again, this is just sort of a general principle one. Can't help but think maybe they're a little bit overvalued in this spot. 8.5, I mean, Oakland stinks, clearly. One of the worst teams in the league. But they can annoy you at times. They can show up just enough to annoy you, and I wonder if this isn't going to be one of those spots. I say take Oakland in the 8.5 in this one.
This is the first of two recommended plays for me this week, and I am all over the favorite. I don't like to lay points like this, so it's certainly a rarity, but the Panthers, I haven't given up on this team. Obviously, they're not going to make the playoffs, and they're not going to have a winning record, so, I mean, I'm not really sure what they're still playing for, but you're right, they have hit a nice stretch. Where are all the Cam Newton haters at now, by the way? Last five games, 1,400 total yards, 13 touchdowns, no turnovers. Seems like he's got it turned around. I only wonder if unfortunately, I kind of hope he doesn't turn around so much that Ron Rivera keeps his job, because I feel if maybe a Chip Kelly came into this situation next year, you could be looking at your NFC South 2013 champions. But it's Oakland, it's a 1 o'clock start time, it's the East Coast, and they're off a win. The Raiders are going to lay down in this game badly. Most people are going to say Carolina laying this many points. I was a bit nervous at first until I saw how just everything added up here. Carolina will get their 6th win of the year. Panthers, big. Big.
Big, okay. All
big.
Right, so there's one of
by like 30. I mean, this will get ugly.
Well, Dennis Allen may not even make it onto the plane after the game if that's the case. They may strand him on Tobacco Road if that ends up going down that way. Next up here, the 5-9 Bills at the 6-8 Dolphins, showing you what CBS thinks of the game. This is the Don Cricky Randy Cross special. And again, Dolphins, they're laying 4.5, had been 4 earlier in the week. Again, two teams in that mid-card El Succo kind of up and down inconsistency type swamp here. Dolphins of late a little more respectable than the Bills. The one-game difference in the record doesn't tell the whole story of that, but it starts to hint at it. The Bills, of course, coming off that historic beatdown at the hands of Seattle up in Toronto there. at the end of the day, in looking at this one, taking into account Buffalo's putrid record on the road, it's a revenge game for Miami. I'm not sure I like Miami laying 4.5 against my old alma mater, Valley Forge High School, but in this instance, I will make an exception and say I'll take them laying the 4.5 against the Buffalo Bills. I suppose that tells you what I think of the Bills right now.
Yeah, you know, this is one of those games where it's just tough for me to draw up any interest. It's a clear pass. I do like the revenge angle if you're a Dolphins fan to go with that. But at the same time, doesn't Buffalo have to have some pride after last week's loss? I just got to stay away here. But by the way, Buffalo's clearly been the bigger disappointment of the two. I told you before the year Miami would get the 6 wins. They're there. And I'm just not sure. Like I said, it's the points. Laying more than a field goal with Miami, I know they covered last week, but that was against Jacksonville. I just got to stay away here. I just have a weird feeling about this game. I don't like it. Don't like it.
As you and I have said, and a team that we're really both down on, the old Tennessee Tuxedos there, that was the game where it got away, clearly. When they lost to Tennessee 35-34 at home, that was the end for the Bills. It's been all downhill since then.
It really happened. I mean, this second half, I mean, I said it all year. I said it when we previewed the AFC East, and I said the Bills would get 9-7 and sneak into the playoffs. I said, look, they're going to start out stinky, but the back end's easy. And even that has just not helped them. Chan Gailey's is done. And I think Ryan Fitzpatrick is too. This is not a good-looking team right now.
Chan Gailey, that is – let me do my best Jim Norton to sum him up. He stinks. I don't know how good an impression that was, but I tried.
I liked it regardless, yeah.
Thank you. Any ONA fans out there can set me straight on how good or how bad that was, I suppose. Skipping over one of the ones that's in my big three, we next up come to the Jacksonville Jaguars at home and getting 14.5 from the New England Patriots right now. Had been 14 earlier in the week. As far as announcers go, Kevin and Harlan and Solomon Wilcox will have the pleasure of calling this one. A week ago, we might have said the best team in the league versus the worst team in the league. A couple of us have probably revised our opinion on the Patriots after watching them Sunday night. They went from, I believe, first to fifth in my power rankings this past week, largely because everybody else did so great towards the top. I mean, if you're going on a week-to-week basis, they picked the wrong week to look like that because everybody else around them looked really good. This is a spot where, again, I will give an opinion on every game. I can already tell you're going to back away from this one again because you're smarter than I am on this. I'll lay the 14.5. New England's got something to prove. They're going to come out wound up, and Jacksonville will be defenseless to stop them. Taking Mo Jones-Drew out of there has taken a horrible team and made them an almost historically poor kind of a team. They can't do anything to threaten another team, keep up, et cetera. This is just going to be a glorified scrimmage for the Pats. Lay the 14.5.
You know, I am obviously going to say this isn't going to be one of my recommended, but if you force me to play it, I would actually agree with you. There are certain times when you got to lay the double digits. Belichick off a loss against a horrible opponent that he can easily crush and humiliate probably is one of those occasions. The only thing that tempers my enthusiasm is New England is just 1-3 when laying double digits this year. So, but off the loss, you know, I mean, this is a tailor-made beatdown. You mentioned the announcement, they're going to probably be searching things to talk about the second half. So, and New England, by the way, you talked about the loss. I'm not ready to say that they're not the best team in the league right now. And I don't think Jacksonville's the worst. I think they're still better than both Kansas City and Oakland. But with New England, that loss was so caught. You thought, you know, obviously you got to pat yourself on the back and we talked tongue-in-cheek how it cost them in your power rankings. Where it really cost them was in the seeding for the AFC. I don't think they're getting the number two seed anymore, Ricky. I mean, we'll talk about Denver a little bit later on. The Broncos play Cleveland and Kansas City to close the show. They're going to win out, and they're going to get the number two seed. New England's going to have to play that first weekend. That was a crushing loss for the Patriots. I really thought they were going to come back and eke it out. But you know, I know we both like the 49ers plus the points. They just dug themselves too early in the hole. So that was a really crushing loss for New England. I'm rethinking, you know, last week at this time, I was ready to proclaim this team AFC champions. I'm not so sure about that anymore because it was such a tough loss. I mean, they're going to have to win three times now.
Well, as you said, they fell way behind on San Francisco. Then they made up the difference and then lost it again. So yeah, it was a great game.
I still think those, as uneven a game as it was, I think those are probably entering this week the two best teams in the league.
They may very well be, yeah, and it may not be the last time. Belichick may see both Harbaugh brothers in the postseason. Anything is possible at this point, I suppose. Next up here, Indianapolis, a road favorite here. They're laying 6.5 at one of the most putrid teams in the league, Kansas City. Had been 6 earlier in the week, and this is an instance where, again, seems like, and this was the case going into the Carolina game as well, although that took a late break that nobody really could have forecast, but it seems like some of the smart money might be lining up on Kansas City in this one. Again, just going with the whole precept that I used earlier, feeling that Carolina's maybe a little bit overvalued. Indianapolis, I kind of feel the same way about them right now. 6.5 on the road, again, against one of the worst teams in the league, maybe one of the worst teams we've seen in a long time. But again, I think somehow or another the Chiefs can find a way to get it done, turn it into a crappy field goal fest and, you know, get like an 18-12 loss or something like that. So I'm going to take the Chiefs to come in the back door.
I'm staying away here, obviously. If you made me play, I'd agree with you. It's funny. I mean, again, if I was just, you know, if I guess I'm in some regards maybe being a little lamer, a little less adventurous this season than you have, and if you made me put a pick out, I would go Chiefs too here. Indianapolis, I mentioned this last week, and you really liked it. That was a real savvy pick. After we got off the phone, I looked into Houston anymore, and I really liked, I told a few people, I really liked Houston to hand it to Indianapolis. They didn't hand it to them, per se. It wasn't that big of a win. They didn't cover that spread. But the Colts, they're overrated right now. They need to win this game because they don't want to be in a situation where they've got to beat Houston. Now, hope Houston may not have anything to play for. They may have it all sewn up going into that game. But still, if I'm the Colts, I don't want to risk it going into the last week needing to win to get in the playoffs. Just win here, clinch the playoff spot. You're all good. But that point differential is frightening for the Colts. It's like minus 49 despite being 9-5. That's kind of like Denver last year. So this is a team that if you're New England or Baltimore, who are the two division champs, they're going to have to play in that first round, the wild card weekend. This is a team you want to draw. You want to draw Indianapolis, not Pittsburgh, I'm telling you. So
you're right about that.
Colts will win, but Andrew Luck is not that – I mean, almost all of his interceptions have come on the road. So,
yeah.
I mean, you can't put, – no, no way would I lay – the points with the Colts, this many points with the Colts in the row, but I can't, the Kansas City is horrible. I mean, I've tried watching them the last few weeks. Brady quit. This guy was once thought to be a starter in this league?
Yeah, he doesn't have a lot of help, I'll tell you that.
No, he doesn't, and it's just a bad situation. Look, I was in favor of going with Quinn over Anderson just because you spent in Cleveland here, just because you spent the pick, but God, does he look horrible. I mean, he's awful. He does.
You know, and what you said about the Colts, to agree with you on that, I've never seen a better example of the phrase, not as good as their record, Colts 9-5. That pretty much says it all.
Look,
two teams.
I love Andrew Luck. I love Andrew Luck, and he's great. And but don't be surprised if they win less games next year.
Oh, I think clearly that'll be the case. I agree with that. Two teams lining up with the rights. Let's call this the Sean Payton's contract on a pole match. It's the 6-8 New Orleans Saints at the 8-6 Dallas Cowboys. Our boy, a three-time lounge guest, Kenny Albert, on the call, along with Moose Johnson and the shoulder breaker, Tony Siragusa. This is one where the Cowboys had been laying 3 when it opened. They're laying 2.5 as it stands right now. There's a couple games this week that I'm going with more or less just on general principle because I'm just sort of envisioning how the season ends. And I don't see the Cowboys doing much better than where they are right now. And I can see the Saints kind of getting back close to 500. This is right about where you and I said at the beginning of the year. You guys, or we called it, I should say, and said that it was one of the easier picks as far as, you know, the over or under on the season records here with the Saints. I think we forecast them for about 7 or 8 wins. just because I don't see Dallas finishing this far enough ahead of New Orleans at the end of the season, I'm going to say take the 2.5 with the Saints, and obviously I think they're a great possibility to win on the road in this one.
This is a tricky game. Dallas clearly is the side that has everything to play for, while New Orleans has nothing to play for. Now, first of all, before I go to the game, I want you to say something nice about Tony Romo and Dallas for a change. They got one over on both of us last week by beating Pittsburgh. And Tony Romo, quietly, I know you don't like him. People of your ilk don't like him. This guy is what I said all along is a fringe top 10 quarterback in this league. I think he's better. I'd take him over Cutler or Staff, bottom line.
If by fringe top 10 quarterback you mean fringe NFL starter, then I completely agree. But
no, that is preposterous. This guy's had a great year. This guy's had a great year, and Dallas has surprised me a little bit. Now, both of these teams kind of are in the spot that I thought they'd be before the year. These are two teams that have kind of lived up to my expectations. I said New Orleans would win 7 games. I said Dallas would win 8. Both of those, you know, neither, if you would have told, you know, both owners before the year, neither would have been happy with that. But I think that's right about where they're going to finish. But this is, you know, it's funny. I think the world's going to be on Dallas here. I mean, New Orleans, granted, they did a nice 41-0 shutout under Tampa Bay. By the way, what has happened to Tampa Bay?
Yeah.
And so because of that, going on the road off a big home win, that would temper my enthusiasm on the Saints. But remember what I always say, teams seem to struggle the week after playing the physical Steelers. And last week was the first time the Cowboys covered at home all year. They're back to that role of favorite where they always gag. I'm telling you, don't be surprised to see Dallas win this game by 1. But there's not a lot of margin for error there. This just seems like a real funky game. Dallas, I think even if they lose, if I understand the tiebreakers correctly, it won't matter, though. That's another reason. Because it's going to be a winner-take-all, I think, next week against the Redskins for the division. So, and then the Giants are involved, too. But still, I think the Cowboys can actually afford a loss or so. I'm staying away. It's a long soliloquy just to say stay away. But I did want to put over that Tony Romo is having a fine season. I've got him as the 9th best quarterback in the league.
Okay. That was a head fake. I thought you were going with New Orleans the way that was shaping up. But a stay-away pick. Okay,
yeah.
Next up is the other two teams in Dallas's division who are playing one another this week. The Redskins at the Eagles. Redskins laying 5.5 on the road, had been 4.5 when this game opened at the beginning of the week here. It is Tom Brenneman, Brian Billick, and the lovely Tandoora Oakman on the call for Fox. Again, a lot of general principle kind of picks for me this week. Washington laying 5.5. They feel overvalued on the road. This is a Philadelphia team. You don't know what you're going to get out of them. But, again, you look at the old penis punch job they did on Tampa Bay a couple weeks back here. They kind of get up when you least expect it. And forget about Taker and Triple H. This is the end of an era match for this version of the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yes.
And I think you'll be seeing it there. I'm not saying they're going to win, but they have a very decent chance under the circumstances to pull a shocker. Eagles, I say, to cover the 5.5.
I'm kind of with you. I mean, this isn't a recommended play, but the way it boils down to is, don't forget, this is the final home game for Andy Reid, in all likelihood.
Yeah.
If this team has any pride, they're going to play hard for it. I'm a big buyer on this Washington right now, Ricky. They're going to win the division. I'm telling you right now. Washington is, I kind of thought they were going to the game last week. Cousins impressed me as a nice plan B, beating the Browns, who, you know, are a tougher team than most give them credit for. Washington on a field goal late, a very apropos ending to the Andy Reid era in Philadelphia. I mean, obviously they play one more game next week, but this is the final home game. Like I said, I really like the Redskins kicker, by the way. I don't think he's missed all year. Redskins win on a late field goal here.
Okay.
They will go on and beat Dallas next week and take the division. I'm telling you, Washington is your 2012 NFC East champion. I'm telling you.
Well, I would certainly like them over Dallas. There's no question about that. Next up here is Tampa Bay at home laying three against St. Louis, which tells you that the odds makers would call them even on a neutral field, which sounds about right based on how they've played this year. That line hasn't moved all week. This is one where I can see Tampa Bay getting off the schneid. I'm going to say Bucks lay in the three.
I can't get interest in either side, considering that both of their seasons, for all intents and purposes, ended last week. Crushing losses for both. Tampa Bay, obviously, was much more lopsided. How do you not score on the New Orleans defense? What happened to this offense? I mean, there were a lot of people. My good friend Mike Johnson, I'll give him a shout-out, finished with the best record during the regular season in our fantasy league. He's sitting at home now. He's playing for the bronze medal next week, third place, just to get the money back, because Doug Martin and Vincent Jackson were a couple ugly no-shows. I'm sure you're all over that, Ricky. St. Louis, again, I told you I didn't like them as a favorite last week against Minnesota, and they got off to a dreadful start. I was shocked how well Adrian Peterson ran against them. Of course, I've been shocked all year about Peterson. But these teams are dead even, and the Rams have met my expectations. I think before the year, I said they'd be 7-9. Bucks, I kind of only thought they'd be 6-10. So both of them are sort of kind of right where I thought they'd be. Total layaway. I mean, I can justify size in a lot of these games as I've kind of gone through. This one I can't. I'm just left scratch. This is one of the biggest layaways for me all week.
Okay, my last thought on this one here. Because Tampa Bay's defense is so putrid against the pass, pretty good against the run, my instinct is to go with Tampa Bay because I don't think that plays to St. Louis's strengths. In order to beat them, they're going to have to.
That's a very good point. That's a very good point.
That's how I'm looking at it here. Due to my poor pacing, once again this week on a full slate of games, no bye weeks, looks like we got a sprint at a finish here. Minnesota at Houston. This was my toughest one of the week. I struggled so hard on this one. Texans are weighing 7.5, had been 9.5 earlier in the week. In the end, I look at what Peterson did last week. I don't think there's any stopping the guy right now. I don't think they're going to win this game. Under normal circumstances, I would say he's not going to be able to rack up the yardage on Houston, but there hasn't been any sign of that against very good defenses recently here. They're going to pound it with Peterson, keep it close, and I think cover the 7.5.
You know, last week you and I were kind of marveling how Houston was favored by what they were against Indianapolis, despite the fact everyone just watched them get trashed on Monday Night Football against New England. Here, I think a lot of people are going to be surprised with laying more than a score to a Minnesota team that, you know, everyone's talked to this Peterson MVP talk. But here's the thing. I don't know how in the hell Minnesota's 8-6. Well, actually, I do. It's Adrian Peterson. But their last five losses, Minnesota, if I can get the toilet paper out of my mouth here, Ricky, their last five losses are all by two scores or more. And I give them zero chance at winning this game. I would actually recommend, it's not one of my two recommendations this week. But I could see you laying points with Houston actually in this spot. They if a win here and they're sitting pretty for a couple weeks till the divisional round. So I think it won't be close. I mean, I don't like laying more than a score in this league too often, and you'll probably have to sweat at the end. But the good news is, if you're sweating at the end, it's going to be Christian Ponder's arm and not Peterson's legs. So I could see Houston winning this one by like 10 points.
Okay, interesting. Next up here. The renewal of a great 1980s rivalry, well, unless you're a Browns fan like I am, the Cleveland Browns at the Denver Broncos, 5-9 Browns, 11-3 Broncos. Ian Eagle and Dan Fouts on the call from Sports Authority Field at Mile High.
Oh, no. Not Dan Fouts.
That's who we're going to be seeing on this one here. Almost a touchdown here. It had been up to 13.5. It's 13. I've been saying it for a while. It's one of these things where, you know, and as I've joked about before, I had the old roulette theory in a casino here. If you bet red, then, you know, go black, go back and forth. And if you lose, double down. If you lose, double down again, double down again. I keep saying Denver's overvalued. I keep saying they're going to run into it here. I could clearly see them looking past the Browns. I love the Browns sneaking in on the 13 here. This was almost one of my big three plays. In this one here, and not a homer pick at all, but I think that Denver's going to get caught looking ahead.
You know, I was thinking the same thing, too, when I saw this line. And then I had a premonition. I think the Browns get waxed for this year. They really haven't been blown out. And, you know, more than just you and I are kind of on to the fact that the Browns are kind of tough, gritty, blue-collar team. Are you really going Pat Shurmur against Peyton Manning? I think Denver may. Here's the thing. Here's the way I look at it. Shurmur is sort of, if you're fair about things and objective, is kind of right on the, is he going to get fired, is he not, line. I think they get housed in their last two games and he's done.
Okay.
This is not my second recommended pick, but I can, look, I don't think Denver's going by 40. They will win this game, though, rather handily.
Okay. All right, you like them to cover. And then two more before we get to the big three plays here. Chicago laying 6 on the road at Arizona, had been 5 earlier in the week. I don't want to be Jimmy knee jerk here, but I just there's no part of me that doesn't love the Bears to win this one by like 5 touchdowns. Coming off of what they've been coming off of, Arizona looks like the perfect get well opponent. They could be a little bit flat coming off of their shocking win over Detroit. Love the Bears on the road in this spot. Road favorite Ricky strikes again. Not a recommended play as far as my big three, but I pick the Bears.
You know, it's funny that I'm going with a lot of, I'm kind of liking a lot of the chalk this week, and this is one of the, it's because Arizona won last week, I actually like Chicago more, although I am nervous about the Bears. I can see you wanting to lay the points to the Bears. Here's why I don't. Everyone still kind of said, looks at their last two games at Arizona, at Detroit, and says, hey, who cares if they stunk the last month? They're still going to make it. That's a scary spot to be in the NFL down the stretch, man.
Oh, it really is, no question about it. The Sunday night game, San Francisco at Seattle.
Oh, yeah.
San Francisco laying 1 on the road. It had been they had been getting 1 at the beginning of the week, so one of these classic games where the money flipped it up from one side to the other. And I am making the classic mistake of following money. I'm saying take the Niners in this one here.
I think Seattle's
going to be flat, I think, off the back-to-back 50s. That's my sense.
No way. This might be my NFL game of the year. Seahawks. This team, last time Seattle was in a same-season revenge spot, the only time this year, 2 weeks ago, they drubbed Arizona 58-0. Is San Francisco Arizona? No. Carroll hates Harbaugh. This is his revenge for the college game when Stanford ran it up against USC in the Coliseum. I am telling you right now, you do not, and by you I mean the other 31 NFL teams, want any part of Seattle from here on out. Hot team. I'm backing them every week, except maybe next week when they're probably laying a big number against St. Louis.
Okay.
But other than that, I'm backing them the whole way the rest of the year, which, by the way, ain't ending anytime soon. Thank you very much. Quest Field, they dominate. 49ers, what a brutal job by the oddsmakers. Back-to-back national TV games in Foxborough and Seattle on a Sunday night. Look, it's the way the league works. Everyone loves you 1 week, the next week you stumble. Seattle with a statement Sunday night. I love this game about as much as I've loved any game this year.
Okay, all right. And apparently I misspoke one more game before we get to my big three.
And it goes without saying, that's my second recommended pick, by the way.
That's your second.
Yeah.
Okay. One more game before a big three. San Diego is at the Jets. Jets are laying 2 in this game, had been 3 earlier in the week. A real who cares kind of a snoozer between two of the sucko teams, letdown teams in the league this year. All things being equal, again, home game, not that I'm getting brainwashed on the time zone thing here, but I think they're going to be able to pound it enough with Sean Green. That's the only recourse they're going to have, because it's not like McElroy can throw the 50-yard bombs, and he'll be starting this week. I'll say take the Jets laying the 2 on the road. Certainly not one of my big three.
I would never play this game. I hate these teams. Next. If you want to save time, there you go. That's one of the worst games of the year. No way.
Yeah.
I wouldn't bet that game with anyone. If somebody could give me $53, I wouldn't bet the game. I'd just take the money.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty putrid there. All right. Getting to the big three. Baltimore is hosting the Giants. This one started as a pick 'em. It's gone to 2.5 now for the Giants. So another one of these games that the public shaped during the week who's favored and who's not. You'd never, ever, ever, ever in this spot follow the money. But like I do with San Francisco, again, it goes to outcomes. I just, again, I've been very, very reluctant to give up on the Giants this year. And I remember all too well what they did last year coming down the stretch. This is a must-win game for the Giants, assuming it's not too late already. Baltimore is seeing a heck of a lot of disarray as we speak right now. Jim Caldwell hasn't been any better as an offensive coordinator than the execrable Cam Cameron. I say take the Giants in a must-win spot here, laying the 2.5 on the road. That's first my big three.
I broke this team down hard, Ricky. I couldn't come to a conclusion either way. Pass.
Okay.
I know we're pressed for time. I could go on why I don't like either of these teams right now. Baltimore really burned me last week. I said they were overrated all year. I tried with them, and they screwed me. So I hate the Ravens, and I think the Giants are, quite frankly, everyone's banking on what happened last year, and that's not going to happen this year.
Okay. Again, you talk about getting burned. I got burned last week on the only one of my big three that I missed. It was my lock pick, the Steelers,
yeah.
Who I am born and bred to hate as
me
a Browns
too.
Fan anyways. And yet, I'm on them again in this spot here. The 7-7 Steelers hosting the 8-6 Bengals. It's a must-win game between them for a playoff spot. Nance and Sims, CBS is sending the A-team to Heinz Field in Pittsburgh. Steelers are laying 3.5, had been 4 earlier in the week. I just keep coming back to this. The Bengals can't beat the Steelers, haven't done it in recent seasons. The Bengals don't show up in these kinds of games. Even in times in recent seasons when they've made the playoffs, they've folded right away. Bengals will not win this one on the road. I don't think they'll get inside the 3.5. The Steelers are the second of my three big three picks.
This almost made three recommended picks. I really like the Steelers, too, in this spot. I'm not putting it on the record here, but I do agree with you that the Steelers are definitely winning. And so with a small number, I'm nervous about the 3.5. That just made me nervous because I could see him winning a field goal game. But, look, I think the Steelers are.
Yeah, they're very, very strong, no question about it, coming into this spot. They've been down in recent weeks, but you could just feel it. You could feel them regenerating for a spot like this here. And Steeler haters like myself have certainly seen enough of that in recent seasons here. And the final of these ones here, the last of my big three picks for the week here, it is my 1,000-star gold-plated lock of the millennium for NFL Week 16. Again, my lock picks have been down and out the last couple weeks. I'm now 7-8 on the season. Ironically, that's always been the strongest thing. I've always done best on those, and then comes the big three, and then comes the overall picks. I'm actually into a positive territory. Above 500 on all of the picks and on the other ones here. But again, it's just a tough thing here. And apparently we're having phone problems with Kyle here, so I may be finishing this one solo as it stands out. I'll be checking to see if we can get him back on the line here in this spot. Saturday night, and ironically, as I a lot of times travel to the ATL for the holidays to see my brother's family, as I will be. So I will not be going to this game, although I – actually, no, what am I saying? It's not even a home game for the Falcons, but it does involve the Falcons. They are 12-2. They're at the 4-10 Lions. It is the ESPN Monday Night Football game on Saturday night. Mike Tirico, John Gruden, Lisa Salters in this one. And, again, Falcons are laying 4 in the spot, had been 3 when it started the week. I'm going to go with the Falcons in this one. I think they're just going to house the Lions. I think they're going to just absolutely decimate them. Complete disarray that the Lions are in, as Kyle said earlier. I'm not the big Jim Schwartz basher that Kyle is, but I don't subscribe to his Jim Schwartz bashing quite like that. I certainly think he deserves another year after having guided them to the playoffs last year. But the Falcons are on a roll. I don't think there's going to be any kind of a letdown because it's a primetime nationally televised spot. They are battling to try to lock down prime playoff spot in the NFC. And I think that's what it's going to come to. Falcons will cover the 4 points, no question about it. And that is my 1,000-star gold plated lock of the millennium for NFL Week 16. So, having some phone problems here with Kyle at the end. So I regret that we were not able to have him on for the last couple minutes, but want to thank him, as always, for his participation. And, again, he and I will look to culminate this year, NFL Week 17. And we're probably going to do picks all the way through the playoffs. We did some playoffs talk last year on the program, and no reason we can't keep this thing going all the way through to the Super Bowl, letting you know what is going to be going on, what's going to be happening all the way through. So we'll convene again, as we said previously, Merry Christmas, everyone. Hope you have a great holiday with the family. We'll check back with you next week for more NFL picks. It'll be NFL Week 17 on the FDH Lounge.